Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 6 says, "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." Brother Carey, would you lead us in prayer?
First thing, Father, Lord, again, thank you today. You give us, Lord, thank you for the blessings there, Lord, in this these time here together. We can praise and glorify Your name there, Lord, and then be with all the prayer requests here and all the families here and then the ones that can make it and working there, Lord. And again, Lord, just be with us and thanks for watching over us.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen. 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 I want to talk to you a little bit about the acceptance of those in Christ. And again, the focus is being in Christ. These blessings and this acceptance and these things are in Christ. Now, some of this stuff will be a rehash for you, but at the same time, a lot of these things here are a message that completely runs cross-grain to the world. Now, we know that the flesh and the world, they're in collusion together, and they run right along together. So if we're against the world, we need to be against the flesh as well. So this right here is going to run cross-grain of the flesh if it runs cross-grain of the world. And this acceptance in the Beloved. Now, notice that your acceptance is in Christ. That's why that acceptance is counterfeited today. That's why so many of these groups, the feminist groups, and we talked about the sodomite groups, and not only that, but all the other false religions, they all want you just to accept them. Now, like the thing is, one of the biggest things that we hear so much, you're not showing love. Mm-hmm. Well, you need to just accept us the way we are. We're out here having a good time. Look, I'm showing more love than you are. I'm trying to tell you how to get to heaven. And how much love have you shown? You know, these people say, well, the Bible says love your neighbor. Well, what are you doing for your neighbor then? You out here getting drunk with your neighbor? That's supposed to be loving your neighbor? Well, what I'm saying is, they want you just accept all behavior. The Lord doesn't do that. You're not accepted no matter what you do unless you're in Christ. And that's the thing. So we're going to run a couple of these references here and show you that the acceptance is in Christ, but when you get accepted, you got to come God's way. It's always been like that. We don't accept God, He has to accept us. Genesis chapter number 4. Genesis chapter number 4. Now, why am I saying that? You know, we're going to find out in this study here, this brief study on this acceptance here. When you get saved, yeah, you're accepted in the Beloved. When you're in Christ, but at the same time too, even after you're saved, if you're going to have behavior and you're going to have any rewards and things like that, if that's going to be accepted, it needs to be the way Christ says come to Him and the way Christ says behave and what Christ says do. Otherwise, it's not accepted. Well, you know, Lord, I accept you. Well, He needs to accept you. And also, He needs to accept your behavior. These people, you know, I'm telling you, it's too lax now. We've gotten too lax with the Lord. He's the Lord. The reverence is gone. And so you'll notice something in Genesis chapter number 4. And Cain and Abel are here. And Cain offers a sacrifice by works. Abel offers a sacrifice by blood. And Cain's sacrifice is not accepted. And it says this in verse 7. The Lord says, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted." Okay. He says that if you do well, if thou doest well, you're going to be accepted. The Bible does not say that Cain needed to accept the Lord or anything to that nature. The whole emphasis on the Cain doing something so the Lord would accept him. Does that make sense? So he's bringing something that he thinks is really good. I'm sure Cain probably thought, I tilled that ground. I put the work into it. I fertilized that ground. Whatever was needed back then to get the thing to grow, he did it. And I'm sure that was probably some of the most beautiful fruit you've ever seen in your entire life. I'm sure it was a great in his eyes a great thing, and he come up there, and the Lord says, "No, that's not the right thing." Look, the Bible says that concerning the thing that he brought of the fruit of the ground. What, the ground's cursed. If you don't bring the fruit of the Spirit, and whenever you're saved, if you don't have the fruit of the Spirit, that's not good. Why? It's just the fruit of the ground. The ground's cursed. It's something that's of the dust, of the old nature. All right? But as far as lost people goes, they're only going to be accepted if they come through the way that God says. And here, this first time this thing is mentioned here, Abel has brought the firstlings of his flock. Blood has been shed. Innocent blood has been shed. Now, this is how it runs contrary to the world. The world just sees this old bloody sacrifice, just like Cain did. Well, I'm doing well. I'm a good person. You don't hurt anybody. I mind my own business. Well, how come I've got to come that way? Well, they don't like the blood. They don't like the bloody sacrifice. That's God's way, and God's way is different than our way. And if you don't come to His way, it's not going to be accepted. All right, and we're accepted in the blood. Why? Because you're accepted if you came the way God told you to come. And God says you're not going to be accepted unless you're in Christ. And you can't get in Christ unless you get through the blood. If you come through the blood. All right. Now, another thing I want to show you about this thing about being accepted. Look at Leviticus. Leviticus. Look, salvation is of the Lord. Now, if salvation's of the Lord, you got to come the Lord's way to get it. You can't come your own way. This the world wants to come their own way. Now, Leviticus chapter number 1, watch how this offering here is going to be accepted. In Leviticus 1, there's a lot of insight on this thing. And verse 3, it says, "If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish." You know what? The Lord Jesus was without blemish and without spot. And he said, "The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." All right. "Without blemish, he shall offer it." Now, how did he offer it? "Of his own voluntary will." Voluntary will is a Bible doctrine. All right. So you got to come at your own will. God's not going to force you. Let me tell you something else to this thing here too. A lot of these gimmicks to get people to come to Christ and things like, it's a gimmick. You got to come to your own way. You can't force people to do things, and you can't trick them into doing things and stuff like that. That stuff is being used today, and people are being tricked. And some of these people, they even do the door knocking wrong. They'll go up here, and the person's not convicted in the least, and say, "You pray this prayer and you're saved." That's the craziest thing. Now, that person is not saved. If they didn't come to God a sinner and believe the gospel, you can't just believe anything you want to believe and be saved. The Bible says that Christ died, and according to Scripture, He was buried, according to Scripture, and the Bible said that He rose again, according to the Scriptures. And that's the Bible says that's the gospel, that He shed His blood on the cross, and if you don't come through the gospel, you're not saved. If you don't trust in what He did for you on that cross, you're not saved. These people think that they can just come anyway, they're not going to be accepted. But the thing is, this thing here said voluntary will. People have got to come by their own will. You can't force them to do it. And you know how we can run family members off and things like that a lot? Force them. Trying to force things down their throat. You have to pray for them. You have to give them what that Bible tells you to give them, and they have to come in their own voluntary will, or it won't be accepted. Now watch this. They come their own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. Now, how is it going to be accepted? If he comes of his own voluntary will, and it's got to be without blemish and without spot, because that's a picture of the Lord there in the Old Testament, but that's what they had to do in the Old Testament to be accepted of God. Now, I'm saying all that because this world has got this acceptance thing. Now, we have, instead of coming to God and being accepted by God, we've turned into a God, basically, the best way to say it is we've now got a God we accept. Now, I might accept you, God. It's flipped around now. Well, hold on. Now we've got a God that I might just accept God. You know, just no, y'all. God is standing over the everything's in His hands. We need to come to Him and bow before Him and say, Lord, would You accept me? I don't have anything to offer You. God's got everything to offer. We come to God. All we have is dirty, rotten sins and a rotten life and a rotten existence. And you come to Him with nothing, and guess what He can do? He can give you everything. But if you come to Him thinking you've got something to offer, He says, well, you don't have anything to offer me. You've got to have a handout. Now, you know what? What amazes me is people nowadays want handouts. And they won't hand out from checks and things like that, but they won't take a handout from the Lord. It's amazing. The Bible said He'll freely give it to you if you come to Him. Whosoever will. He said, if you'll come to Him, but you got to come on His terms, His way, to be accepted by Him. And they say, hold on a minute. What do you mean? I got to be accepted of God. I'm going to accept Him. No, you don't. You got to be accepted of Him and come the way that He says come to. Otherwise, you're not going to be accepted. And that's just how it is. And that's the Bible there. Now, as far as the Christian walk in the New Testament, we've seen the thing accepted in the blood of Ephesians 1:6. Look at concerning us, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, after you're saved, there's something else to be accepted of. We're already accepted in the beloved. He's accepted us because of Jesus Christ, and because we're in Him, we're accepted in the beloved. But now, once you get saved, there's more to getting saved than just getting saved and sitting around. We want to have good works, and we want to let the Lord work in and through us. We want Him to work out. What He's worked in us, you know, the thing that's in us. Now, if you'll look over here at 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 9, it says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Why? Well, what's the context? The judgment seat of Christ. Look at verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, you know what the context is? When you get there, you're going to have to do something to be accepted, those works to be accepted of Him. We got the whole thing backwards. It's almost like, well, I'll just do however I want to. When I get there, everything's just going to be good. No, you got to work. Why? So the work will be accepted. Why? Because if it's not, gold, silver, and precious stones, the only way you can get the gold, silver, and precious stones is working and letting the Lord work in and through you and yielding yourself to Him. That's the only way to get it. That's the true work. Why, gold, silver, and precious stone, they're all in the underground. If I got to them, I had to dig. Wood, hay, and stubble is all surface, and it's easy to burn up. Surface stuff. Most people just got a surface life. It's just surface. And you know what it's going to do? It's flesh, surface, and it's just going to burn up. See, inward, gold, silver, precious stones, all inward work. And God works from the inside out. Well, this world right here thinks, well, I'll just do whatever, and God will accept that. No, that's not right. You got to be accepted of Him. Your works have got to be accepted of Him. And the only thing will be accepted of Him is what is wrought by Him. Because He's the only perfect one. Christ is the only perfect one. So only thing that's going to count is what you allow whenever you yielded yourself to Him. And when that thing was worked out, He said, I accept that. Why? Because His Son done it. But if we did it, it's no good. And that's what people don't like when they say, I do good things. The plowing of the wicked is sin. You just think you're doing good. Why? Because if we do good without the Lord, guess what? That's a work of the flesh. We got a bad motive behind it. A lot of times we do good just so we can be noticed by somebody else. Well, watch me go. Well, see, that's not going to be accepted. So that accepted in the blood, you get accepted in the blood when you trust Jesus Christ and you're in Him, so you're accepted then. And not only that, after you're saved, the only thing that's going to be accepted is what you've done through yielding to the Holy Spirit and Christ working in and through you. Now, Let me show you another one. 2 Corinthians 8. 8. And verse number 12. You want to know how to be accepted as far as having your works accepted? It says, for if there first, in 2 Corinthians 8:12, for if there first be a willing mind, watch this. If you have a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. So he's giving you gifts, and he wants you to improve upon those gifts, of course. But at the same time, if you've got a willing mind, just be willing to serve God with what you have, that will be accepted. I love that about the Lord. Why? He's not going to hold me accountable for things I couldn't have done. You know, if I didn't have the gift of preaching, he's not going to hold me accountable and say, you should have been preaching. If I didn't, but you know what? At the same time, if he gave us several of these talents, he's going to say, what did you do with the talents I gave you? Some people, well, I buried them in the earth. Well, they invest them in earthly things. He's going to say, that's no good. Take it from him and give it to the other one. And y'all, that's wonderful that we know in the Bible how that we can be accepted of God. Not him accepting us. It's that we come to him the way that he says, and you know what he can do? He can say, that's accepted. And that's what we're wanting. We're wanting God to accept what we do, but we got to come to him the way he says come to get there. And we can't have that mentality flopped around where now we've got a God we accept, and everything's all the terms on us. We have nothing to offer. And what's that do? Y'all, that attitude there just keeps you humble. That's all that is. He's just letting you know, look, you don't have, it's not like he's trying to slap you down. He's just showing you have nothing to offer. So if you come to me the way I'm telling you, you actually have something to offer. He's telling you in his word how to be accepted. He told Cain, he said, if thou doest well. And he told him what to do. He said, shalt thou not be accepted? He gave him a second chance even after he messed up. God is a merciful God. But at the same time, people harden their hearts. Guess what they're going to do? Just what Cain did, just what Pharaoh did, just what on and on down the line. Herod and the rest of them. And so he's told us, and thank the Lord we're accepted in the blood because of being in Christ. Now another thing, you got redemption through his blood. The blood now is so de-emphasized that I believe that it must be emphasized. If you'll notice about the blood, and I'll just speak about this from a preacher's standpoint. When I hear a song about the blood before I preach, it does something. People say what they want to about the blood, but that blood does something. And it's something on the inside. The Bible says it speaketh. And it's like it's speaking to me and saying, man, if it wasn't for the shed blood of Jesus Christ, I'd be on my road to hell and it would be no way out. And man, I could just go on and on. But I'm saying there that we need to be to where we emphasize the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Why? Adam, he had to have an innocent animal killed so he could have that covering there in Genesis. And Abel, there had to be innocent blood shed. Now, the first one in that flock, why? Blood. The Lord's saying you got to have a blood covering. Why? We can't do it. It's got to be blood shed. Abraham in Genesis 15, the Lord said, bring these things. He told him exactly what to bring, and the blood was shed. Those things were cut into pieces so they could cut a covenant. Why? Blood had to be shed. In Exodus 12, my favorite, one of my favorite things to read about, when that blood was put on the door. Well, y'all, that's a picture right there in the Old Testament of us. Why? Because look, that blood has got to be, you got to be covering that blood. Why? God didn't even begin to start giving him the commandments or anything else until that blood was shed and the blood was over the door. That's a picture of us right there. It don't do any good for God to tell you anything to do other than get saved. Why? Because all that other stuff's not going to do any good until the blood shed. And another thing too, the cross, there's the blood at the cross. The Bible says in the King James, in the Gospel, it tells you how that Christ died for your sin. How did he die? The Bible said he shed his blood. All right, now you know what? If you've got a Bible and it takes out the blood, you've got a major problem right there. Why? Because you've got people teaching it's the death of Christ and not the blood of Christ. It's the death of Christ. Well, Christ died as part of the gospel, of course. But if you take away the blood, you don't have salvation without the blood. Of course, he could have died, but if he didn't shed his blood for you, what in the world had they been reading? It just confuses me. So I can tell you, that thing is de-emphasized. The blood is being de-emphasized today. And so what you have is, as far as in the Old Testament there, in the blood being shed, you don't get accepted without the forgiveness and redemption that's in him. And that's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, speaking of this blood and acceptance, it's so important because a man may accept God, but God may reject him. There's a lot of people say, well, I believe God. I've heard some people, I believe him. Yeah, well, you can accept God your own way if you want to, but that don't mean he's going to accept you.
That's right.
Well, you know what you got to do? You got to come through the blood. And if you leave the blood out and don't come his way, guess what happens? You're in a mess. Why, hell will be your home. All right, now, you need to know this as far as doctrinally. In the Old Testament, people were forgiven. They were forgiven. Well, we got redemption through the blood. There's a different thing going on here than was in the Old Testament. Look at Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter number 34. See, a lot of these people, these false religions, they say, well, I'm forgiven, you know. Well, they're mixing up their doctrine. Well, there's been a lot of people that's been forgiven, but they didn't have redemption. In the Old Testament, sins were forgiven, but they didn't have redemption like we've got. Sins were clear, but they weren't taken away. Well, man, once the bloodshed blood comes, then they're taken away. And I'll show you these things in just a minute. But look at Exodus chapter 34, verse number 7. It says, speaking of what the Lord does, he's gracious, long-suffering, abundant goodness and truth. Verse 7, keeping mercy for thousands. Now watch this. Forgiving iniquity. Says he forgives. Forgiving. And transgression and sin. And that will by no means clear. Now you need to underline that right there. It says no means clear the guilty. All right. He says in that Old Testament that they were forgiven, but the sins weren't cleared. Why? They were saved on kind of like what we call a credit. Why? Why did they in the Old Testament go to Abraham's bosom? They could. That blood was shed and that blood went in the ground and the blood went down in the ground. You know what? They couldn't go any further than the blood. Well, guess what? Where's the blood? See, we can go. Why? The blood shed and Jesus Christ is our high priest up there in heaven. How can you go to heaven now instead of down? You go up. Why? Because, see, they couldn't go any further than the blood. Here, Jesus shed his blood for us. He's up there right now in heaven. And the Bible says he's being our mediator, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Why? The blood was shed. It was there, but it could not clear. It forgave them. That's why they had to keep offering those sacrifices. Why? They could get forgiveness, but the sins were not cleared. Now, talking about this blood here, they could be forgiven, but they were not redeemed in the final sense. Now, look at this thing. Look at Hebrews chapter number 9. All right, remember in Exodus, it says, "We'll by no means clear the guilty." All right. Now turn to Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number I should have said chapter number 10. I actually wrote that cross reference wrong. Okay. Verse number 11, chapter 10, verse 11. "And every high priest standeth daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. He said in right there that those Old Testament priests, they were offering those sacrifices, and he said those sacrifices could not take away the sins. The Old Testament said in Exodus that they couldn't clear the guilty. All right, well, you know what? John the Baptist points to Jesus Christ in John 1 verse 29. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God," which, watch this, "taketh away." Amen. See how that thing's connected? That's why you can't mess with any of the verses in the Bible while you take the cross reference out and you take the blessing out. He said he taketh away the sins of the world. Why? When he shed his blood, that lamb right there, that lamb of God, that blood is not only able to clear, it's able to take away the sins. That's a different thing. We've got redemption. How? Through his blood. Why are you accepted in the blood? Because when you trusted Jesus Christ, you were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and the Bible says it took away your sins. It didn't just save you on a credit and you need to offer another sacrifice later on. Why? The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ lasts forever. And man, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. So since we have that sealing, we forever got the blood speaking on that behalf right there. Man, what a blessing one. Because the Spirit works with the blood. And because we're sealed, that Spirit's constantly there working with the blood. And whenever you do something wrong, yes, you may sow the flesh and reap the flesh, but the Father's able to look down on that sealing and that blood speaks and said, "This is a blood-bought Christian right here." And he's able to see that blood instead of seeing your old dirty, rotten sins. And mine, man, I'm telling you, that's a blessing right there. Man, thank the Lord. Why? Thank the Lord for that shed blood. Why, there's so many people out here, they're twiddling beads and going up here and confessing to priests and stuff like that, right? That won't do any good. Now, let me tell you this. This is one reason. You're accepted in the blood when you come to God His way. Now, this is so important. God will not let you have confidence as long as you're trying to trust in your fruit stand. As long as you're trying to trust in something you do, He will not let you. Have any kind of confidence in the Lord. I tell you why, because the confidence is supposed to be in Jesus Christ. It says it in Hebrew. We're supposed to cast all our care on Him. Everything is on Him. So guess what? The Lord knows that, you know, He sent His only begotten Son to shed His blood for us on the cross. And only that blood is the only way to have acceptance. So if you're trusting anything else, you know, a lot of these people, yeah, they come to God, and I believe they come to God the right way. But then they're starting to think, well, you know, I got to work. And if I don't work, I got to keep it. You know, I'm trying to keep. Well, they're not going to have assurance of salvation. Why? Because if you're putting your trust and faith in anything else other than that shed blood, and that's what it took there, you're not going to have confidence. And that's how people lose their assurance of salvation and things like that, because they stop coming to God His way. And God said, that's not accepted. That's not, you know, as far as they're saved, that's not accepted work. Why? Because you're not coming the way I said. You're not going to get the assurance if you're coming the wrong way, because God's not going to accept it if it's not done by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if you're saved, a lot of people lose assurance because what they're doing is not accepted of God. All right, so guess what? We've got it in the final sense. Turn to this one here, Romans chapter number 3. And man, we got redemption in the final sense. And I want you to know why. This will give you confidence. Give you confidence not in yourself and in God. I can tell you something. I've told you 100 times. I wouldn't trust my best 3 seconds to get me to heaven. Because you go back to that thing, a bad motive and things like that. We may do something we think is good, but it's got a bad motive connected to it, and you're trying to get glory to yourself, and man, it's just too much involved there. But thank the Lord for this shed blood. Romans 3 verse 24 says, being justified, how? Freely. That's what was omitted in Genesis 3. Eve omits freely and gets in a big mess. Freely by His grace through the redemption. See, we've got redemption. Redeemed. I wish I could sing that song. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through. Now watch this. You can't take out the blood. Faith in His blood. in his blood. Man, I want to quote that to a bunch of these people that's trying to take the blood out. They say, well, it's the death of Christ. It says faith in his blood. You can't take the blood out of the gospel. If you got a bloodless gospel, you got a Christless gospel, because Christ shed his blood. It says to declare his righteousness. See, they don't like that. Well, they want their righteousness. My righteousness is filthy rags. The Bible says, for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Thank the Lord that the Lord has shed his blood, and I can have faith in that shed blood and know that because he shed his blood there, that I am redeemed by that blood, and I don't have anything to worry about. One sinless, spotless, blemishless lamb, the blood of Almighty God. The Lord Jesus come down. He had to put on a flesh body in order to even be able to be capable of dying. Low in the volume of the book, he said, I come. And he said, do thy will, O God. He said, a body hast thou prepared me. He had to put on this flesh. You imagine God. It's just hard to imagine. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And here he comes down here, and Mary has to feed him. Mary has to change the diaper. I just can't. I mean, I'm thinking, wow, he would do that. The Bible said he humbled himself. The Bible said he made of himself no reputation. That is amazing to me. You know, there's so many people that you know, they've got millions of dollars, and they wouldn't dare. They wouldn't dare go to a place somewhere and say, you know what, I'm going to clean the bathrooms in this place. And that's not even, you know, a millionth part of a comparison to what Almighty God did. Come down, took on the sins, the dirty, rotten sins of the whole world, and come down here. And man, people trample under the foot the blood of the Son of God whenever they don't trust Jesus Christ. That's amazing to me. And you have that shed blood there. All right. Now, another thing, too. It's made light of so much in your new versions. Colossians 1:14 and the Never Inspired Version, takes that thing out through his blood, but they'll leave it in Ephesians and things like that. Well, if it's in one place, why don't leave it in the other place? Why, they've taken it out? Why? Because God's showing you which one's real and which one's not. He's saying, look, if you'll look at it, I'll show you. Now, people short of blood are what? Anemic. Now, you know what? You'll see some signs of people short of the blood, and it'll go both ways. Lost people, here's some sign: fatigue, anemics, fatigue, and you know what? They can't hardly move. When it comes to godly things, they can't move, and they're just tired. They get to where, you know, even thinking about serving God makes them tired. Well, you know, I know a lot of saved people. You know what's happened? They've got away from the appreciation of the blood of Christ, and as far as serving God's concerned, they're just fatigue concerned. Another characteristic of being anemic is dizziness. You know what? That's confusion. You know what? If you get to where you move away from appreciating the shed blood of Jesus Christ, literally confusion sits in. And lost people, why are they so confused? Because they're trampling underfoot that precious blood that was shed, and they're literally going to a place, and it ends up being called in the Bible the city of confusion. And that's what happened in Genesis 11. Everybody got together without shed blood, and you know what happened? Confusion. You know what's going to happen with the Babylon? Confusion. They're going to get so confused, they're going to be shedding blood for their sacrifices. That's just amazing what it leads to. Insomnia. Lack of sleep. You know what? I know one boy I'm thinking of right now. He's lost, and you know what he says he does? He says he can't sleep. He cannot sleep. Why? Laying there thinking. Well, all he has to do is trust Jesus Christ. You know what he's doing? He's hanging on to one sin that he likes to do so much that he says, man, I know that if I got saved, I wouldn't do that no more. Well, he would rather do that sin than get saved and go to heaven. Craziness. Another characteristic of it, of being anemic, is difficulty concentrating. Now I can tell you something. If you lose, as a Christian, if you lose your appreciation for that shed blood of Jesus Christ, you'll lose your concentration. Being able to concentrate on the things you need to concentrate on as far as in your service to God. That what happens is you get away from the Bible, the book, and the blood. While the blood was sprinkled, the book was sprinkled with blood, and they are connected. You know, and Moses said that that book was sprinkled with blood, and they're connected there. So if you lose your love for the book, you'll lose your love for the blood. And you know what happened? You'll get to where you can't even concentrate on the things of God anymore. Why? You'll lose your heavenly affection. There's a difference between having passion and having an affection. Passions blow around. The Bible says Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. Well, man, he had all kinds of passions. He had passions that blowed around in the wind. He got to one place where he's under the juniper tree comparing himself to his father's. But you know what? He learned later on to have an affection to no matter what. Why? Set your affection on the Lord and on things above. Why? Because look, your passions will blow around all the time, just like your feelings. But if you've got your affection set on the Lord Jesus Christ, why? Through appreciating what He done for you by shedding His blood, and through staying in love with Him by continuing reading His Bible and exposing yourself to the book, you'll have your affections on things above, and you'll appreciate that blood, and you'll be able to think right, and you'll be able to concentrate right, and you'll be able to have rest In the Lord. That's like a lot of people say, well, you know, Sunday's our rest day. You know, I can't go to church on Sunday. Well, you know what? My rest is in the Lord. Man, I rest more knowing that I've served the Lord, man. Your rest is in Him. And then as far as being confused, it will eliminate confusion. I can tell you something, knowing that you're covered in that shed blood and reading these promises and reading these verses and things like we went over today, that will give you a peace that will take that confusion away and say, Lord, I just pray by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, I need your help and I need you to help me in this situation, and know that I can come to Him through the blood. That eliminates confusion. And another thing, fatigue, it will get you on fire for the Lord. Knowing that the Father did not have to. He did not have to, but He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross. I just can't imagine. Every time I think of that, I think, wow. We know that we cannot love. I'm not capable of loving the way the Father loved His Son, and He sent His only begotten Son. It's amazing. It's amazing. The blood keeps you in a right relationship. Another thing, you're bought. Look at 1 Corinthians 7. You're bought with a price. And what a price it was. You know what amazes me? The Lord gave His very best. If you want to know what something's worth, you just find out what somebody will pay for it. And you'll find out what it's worth. And you know what? People say, you know, what am I worth? The Lord so loved that He gave His very best. He gave His only begotten Son. Now y'all, I don't say it gets any better than that.
That's right.
If you want to find love beyond what you could ever imagine, you can go to the cross and get that love and tap into that love through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's just words can't describe it. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 23 says, ye are bought with a price. What was that price? That's the shed blood of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Be not ye the servants of men. Now, what if you bought a car, or you bought a brand new a pickup, and man, you had to make a $650 a month payment on that thing. And you know, some of these people got these huge payments on these vehicles. I heard some people. One guy said he made workforce one time said he made $853 a month payment on this souped up Chevrolet pickup he bought. Now look, what if that man bought that truck and he went out there to turn the key and the key didn't start? Or what if it's a hot day and he's bought this pickup and he turns the key and then he turns on the air conditioner and the air conditioner won't go? Mm-hmm. And he's bought the thing with a price. He expects it to do what he bought it to do. You know what? The Bible says you're bought with a price and we're supposed to serve the Lord. Now, let's look at something about that service because we're bought. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter number 2. Pretty good here about that service. Now you think about that blood, it'll make you want to serve the Lord. Colossians 2, I believe it's verse 2. I completely lost that verse. Yeah, it's actually 3, Colossians 3, verse 22. I apologize for that. It says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers." Both texts we read, not as pleasing men, not as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Now, you know how we're supposed to serve because we're bought with a price? The Bible says, not with eye service. You know what that means? Don't just do your best when people's looking. That's one thing there. If you serve with eye service, that said you're being a man pleaser. Now, why is that connected with the blood? Because we're bought with a price. He's connecting that because you're bought. Serve because you're bought. I mean, think about if you think about that precious blood that is shed and that we're accepted in Christ and we have redemption through His blood, it ought to make you want to serve, not about, I got to serve the Lord. Well, I got to give today. I got to go. I get to give. I get to serve. I get to go do these things. Why? Because I have liberty in Christ. I don't have liberty in Christ to go do all these evil things. I got liberty in Christ that I don't have to do those things anymore. I've got such liberty. I've got the choice to choose not to drink alcoholic beverage this big right here and say, "Well, God made wine, and you know I'm able to." I've got liberty to say no to those things. I've got liberty to say no. And why? Because of that shed blood. And we don't serve just as when people are looking and say, "Hey, look at me go." It's not with eye service. Why? Because Christ has done something that we could not ever do for our own self. He did it. He made us accepted in the blood. He gave us forgiveness. Things that, you know, past what they could even imagine in the Old Testament. Yeah, they got forgiveness. But guess what? You imagine what they still had to go through. They couldn't even go to heaven when they died. They went to paradise. But man, you imagine with us. The Bible says with us, if you're in Christ and you die, to be absent with the body, to be present with the Lord, you can't beat that. Why? Because you're redeemed by the blood. You got a different stand. You're actually in the body of Jesus Christ. Now, man, thinking about that makes me want to serve Him. Why? I love Him. Lord, I can't serve You enough, can't do enough. And Lord, just let me serve You. Our attitude ought to be an attitude of gratitude, of service. Now, I thought of this. Are you accepted? If you are, that ought to give you confidence. And another thing, are you bought? If you are, we ought to serve like we're bought. Why? Because, look, the Lord bought us with a price, and we ought to serve because we're bought with that price. And we'll close there.